You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Halacha question. Number one is, what is the source of the mitzvah of saving life? We call the mitzvah pekuach nefesh. Where does that come from? What is the source of that? How does that impact upon the concept of practicing medicine? And when it comes to the ultimate practice of medicine, which in the past I pointed out is an obligation both on the doctor to practice the medicine and the patient to seek out the proper doctor that's an expert in what their problem is and to treat their medical problems. Besides all of that, the question is, what is the status of the human being treated medically that these halachic sources technically apply to? We know for a fact that once a child is born into this world, and even if they're one day old, but they're a healthy child and is in a full stage pregnancy, and they're basically a full-fledged human being at that point in time, the halachic responsibility in maintaining their life and not destroying their life, halacha lamasa, comes into existence immediately. If, God forbid, somebody would ever kill a child who's one day old, who's healthy, and was born at the normal time, they be chai mises bezdin with all the halachic ramifications. So a child from day one all the way to the end of your human life has a prohibition of destruction, Issa Ritzicha applying to them, and a mitzvah, a pekuach nefesh, of saving their life if, God forbid, they are endangered when it comes to their existence. The first thing I want to do today is get into the source material from where we learn this, and after we apply all of that, we're then going to go and deal with the question of the salvation and the pekuach nefesh and the refuah of fetal life of babies that are still in the 9 months of gestation. What's our halachic attitude towards them? And what is the halacha that we have when it comes to our responsibility to Mechal Shabbos, Yom Kippur, and all the other Isurei HaTorah for the sake of saving fetal life? The same way we have the halakhic responsibility of being Mechal Shabbos, Yom Kippur, and other Averos for the sake of saving human life that's already been born into this specific world. So the question is, what's the halakhic sources for this? How do we understand this and comprehend this? Listen carefully as I discuss this morning. Let's hope and pray that our learning today should serve as a refuah shleima for all the cholim of Klal Yisrael, that they should be zeicha for refuah based upon the schus of discussing these specific topics. And therefore, as a result of that, let's now get into the topic very, very quickly. The halachic source for the mitzvah of pekuach nefesh, saving human life, overriding the most chamedika mitzvahs, as the mitzvah of Shmir Shabbos, the mitzvah of observing the Yom Tov of Yom Kippur, with all the halachic ramifications involved in these holy days. Remember, if you mechal al Shabbos, and you do it b'mezid, yechayiv kares, if you do it with edim, yechayiv mises bezdim. So realize this is a serious thing. If you mechal al Yom Kippur, b'mezid, you also chayiv kares. So quite obviously, we see from all of this that, you know, these days are very holy days, but despite as holy as they are, if a human being's life is at stake, the human being's life, as a Jew, overrides the halacha of observance of the Iser malacha that applies on these specific days. So the Gemara Masechtas Yoma on Pehei Amabez 85b brings two sources for the concept of the mitzvah of pekuach nefesh. One of them, Rosh Shimon ben Manasi, brings the pasuk, "V'shamru b'nei sas haShabbos, la'asos sas haShabbos l'doros and baris olam." Very, very important pasuk. And upon this, he had a Kabbalah. What does the pasuk say when it comes to Shmir Shabbos being mentioned twice? It means, Amra Torah Chalel Olo Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishmu Shabbos Esharvei. There's a mitzvah for us to Mechal Shabbos to save this person's life now, because if their life is saved, they'll be able to observe many more Shabbos in the future. That is what he claims is the source of Pekuach Nefesh overriding Shabbos, Yom Kippur, and Yom Tiv, when it comes to performing Malacha to save human life. The Gemara then quotes that Shmuel had another source. It's a Tanaic source, but he quotes it. And he says in his specific Kabbalah, he asked from his Rabbeim, it's based upon another Pasuk entirely, a Pasuk from Parshas Achrimos. And that specific Pasuk in Achrimos says, and this is Perek Yudches Pasuk He, it says over here, Asher Yasa Os Adam V'chai Behem, we have to perform mitzvahs and live by them. And he had a Medrash Halacha Tanaim saying upon that specific Pasuk, we have to live by them, for lo shayim usbehem, that we should not cause death to take place because of our normal observance of Torah and mitzvahs. And therefore, we have to violate mitzvahs ben Torah and be mechal of them if necessary to save human life. In fact, the Rambam adds a very interesting musar shmuz on this, which the Rambam in the second parak of Hilchos Shabbos, who brings down this pasuk, says, "Halamadato." We therefore learn from this specific sensitivity to human life, "Sheimishpati haTorah nekama ba'olam," that the laws of the Torah do not represent any divine vengeance in this world against human beings. But Torah is rachamim; it's mercy. Chesed, it's loving kindness. For shalom, it's peace ba'olam. This is what Torah advocates, and the saving human life is a manifestation of rachamim, chesed, v'shalom ba'olam. So we have Shmuel quoting that pasuk as the source of pekuach nefesh overriding averas chamuras of the Torah to save human life. Now, of these two sources, I will tell you that the poskim have a discussion which is the source we ultimately accept. And I just pointed out to you that the Rambam himself, when it comes to choosing from these two pesukim, brings the pasuk quoted by Shmuel, v'chai behem v'lo shiyamus behem, as the source that pekuach nefesh overrides kol haTorah kula. What's interesting, and this is for those who are interested to look it up, is that the Mishnah Berurah himself, in Simen Shin Chavtes, in Aruch Chaim, has a discussion on this specific topic, and what ultimately the Mishnah Berurah paskens halacha lamasa, that as far as he is concerned, the source for the mitzvah of pekuach nefesh overriding Shabbos is based upon the concept of chai behem v'loshim usbehem. One of the major sources is what the Gemara says in Mesechtes Yoma on Peivav, where it talks about a person who had a building collapse upon them on Shabbos. And when Hatzalah comes to the scene, they medically evaluate that this person is only going to survive a short period of time on Shabbos. That's called Chai Yeshua. But they're not going to survive this Shabbos. Forget about observing other Shabbosos. And nevertheless, the Gemara says that you're Mechalel Shabbos with all Isurei Torah for the sake of preserving even Chai Yeshua momentary life, which will never ever perform mitzvahs in the future and surely will not observe other Shabbosos. Says the Mishnah Berurah very explicitly, that psak can only be based upon the pasuk of Chai Behem V'lo Shiyamus Behem, because what that pasuk really emphasizes is the infinite divine value of human life. Every minute, every second, every hour of being able to prolong human life is a mitzvah in its own right That's the mitzvah pekach nefesh is dochu kol ha-Torah kula. And quite obviously, the Gemara categorically rejects the svara of the other pasuk, mechala this Shabbos kedei sheishmo Shabbos es harbe, because the person they're talking about in the Gemara in Yoma will not survive this Shabbos, let alone not observe Shabbos in the future. And nevertheless, the Gemara says, you have a mitzvah, deraisa, to mechala Shabbos with this person, whether it's a vada pikuach nefesh, or a suffet pikuach nefesh, or sfek sfekos. That's our halachic responsibility when it comes to the preservation of human life. The infinite divine value of human life has to be utmost in our mind when it comes to our dealing with people who are sick and endangered, and our chiyuv to treat them medically and to save their lives the best way we possibly can. So the pasuk of Ishamru, the Mishnah Berurah says, quite obviously is not the source of the mitzvah pikuach nefesh being dachu kol ha-Torah kula for normal human beings of Klal Yisrael living in this world, that halacha lamasa, the pasuk chay ben v'lashe yamus behem, is quoted by the Rambam and the other poskim as the ikur source. And that's the way, quite obviously, halacha is written when it comes to the people that you can treat on Shabbos, all individuals who might not ever, ever be able to survive this Shabbos Kodesh, even though they're deathly ill. But if you can give them a little more time to live on Shabbos and have less trauma, even though you know they're definitely going to die on Shabbos, the mitzvah deraisa, the mechal Shabbos, with all isuri deraisa, for their pikuach nefesh is part of your medical treatment, even though it's momentary medical treatment, not long-time value, short-time value, we are mechuyif to intervene on this level, and that is the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh bin dachel kol ha-Torah kula, which is articulated halacha lamasa by Agadolei Poskim. This concept applies from the time a child is one day old in this world and born healthy, full-term pregnancy, that the same way there's, as I mentioned before, there's a prohibition to destroy this little baby's human life, there's a mitzvah to preserve the baby's human life, that if on day one or two he gets a deadly threatening illness, even though he's not a Shomer Torah mitzvah yet, you're mechuyev to try to save the baby's life. And halacha lamasa, that's the way we paskin. And that goes from babyhood to halachic adulthood and everything else in between. That's where these psukim apply. Achayim al-sheyamus behem, dealing with saving nefashos, full-fledged human lives, which start from day one in this world and go to whatever age you live up to, the mitzvah halachically applies to you. Lock, stock, and barrel. And this is the way the Mishnah Berurah paskins in Shin Chav Tes and his Bir Halacha. Now, with that in mind, we now have to come to the following question. If we see that the Rabbeinu Shalom is so concerned with the nefesh, the soul, the human soul, the baby soul, from one day on, born into this world until the end of their life, and that even momentary preservation of life is halachically mandated by the Torah itself, we now come to a very important question. And the important question relates to fetal life, to baby life. We know that a baby comes into existence at the time of the conception, with the sperm and egg combined in the human body, in the fallopian tube, and ultimately this specific new cell that has 46 chromosomes, 23 from the sperm, 23 from the egg, form a new nucleus. They undergo cell division, mitosis, and by the time it floats out of the fallopian tube into the uterus and connects to the uterine wall, halacha lamasa, that is the beginning, full-fledged beginning, of the nine-month gestational period of the babies coming into full-fledged embryonic and fetal and human existence. And under normal circumstances, if nothing happens during that 9 months, the baby will end up coming out of the mother's body, be born a healthy, viable human being. And on day one, the baby will be considered a full-fledged nefesh according to all the halakhic considerations, will be granted to that child, including saving their life from day one on, according to what I mentioned up until this point in time. But I'm concerned now with the question of what's the halachic status of the fetal life from the gestational period up until the baby being born. Is that baby a nefesh? Is that baby considered a partial nefesh? What is the isar of destroying fetal life? And what is the mitzvah of saving fetal life? At what juncture in the baby's gestational period does the mitzvah of saving fetal life of the baby that has not been born yet come into existence? And more importantly, what pasuk is it derived from? What is the source? What is the makar? What is the halachic source of saving fetal life? So I want you to be aware of the fact that one of the great Gaonim of the Gaonic period, which were the Chachamim that lived after the Talmud Bavli was completed, and these are Gedolim who lived in the 700s and the 800s, 900s, the Gaonim, that during that period there was a very, very big Baal Halacha who was called the Bahak. It stands for the Baal Halachas Gedolos. He wrote one of the first famous halachic treatises on the halacha l'maisa that applies to us b'zman hazeh when it comes to all the halachas of the Torah. The name of his sefer is the Baal Halachas Gedolos. The acronym of his name is the Bahag, Beis, Hei, Tulo, Strichlech, and Gimel. And what he says is very fascinating. He quotes a Gemara in Masechtes Yoma that discusses the following halachic issue. Listen very carefully. The Gemara describes a woman, a young woman, who just became pregnant, and she's now confronting the Yom Tov of Yom Kippur in a very short period of time. And halacha lamasa, as doctors usually do, they tell her, be very careful, you're pregnant now, we don't want your fasting to chas v'shalom cause any problems to the baby that's now growing inside you, that's gestating inside you. Sometimes doctors have been known, when they really feel there's a medical problem, they sometimes have advised these women not to fast on this Yom Kippur, because it's not just a threat to your life, it's a threat to the baby's life. And it might not be a threat to your life. It might be a threat only to the baby's life. So what the Gemara says in Masechtes Yoma, and what the Shulchan Aruch paskins and halachas Yom Kippurim, is that if this woman during the time of Yom Kippur, who started fasting, but then felt a certain type of feeling in her body, and when she consulted the doctor who examined her, he said to her that you are in a situation now that if you don't break your tainus on Yom Kippur, now remember, eating on Yom Kippur is an Issa Karis. If you don't break your tainus Yom Kippur and you eat, you are going to be endangering the baby that is gestating inside you and might be threatening that baby's existence. The halacha is, the Bahag Paskind, that you're supposed to force this woman to break her tainus, even though her life is not in danger. But the baby's life is the sole entity that's in danger. You mechuyiv to make her violate all these isurei Torah that apply to her for the pekuach nefesh of the fetal life contained in her body at a very early stage of the fetal life. And this is the psak of the Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos. What I want you to know, that the Ramban Nachmanides, in his halachic work called Teras Adam, quotes this Baal Halachas Gedolos Halacha Lamasa. He agrees with the Maskana of the Bahag that saving fetal life from destruction by even forcing its mother to eat on Yom Kippur to save the baby's life is halachli achiv deraisa, a pekuach nefesh for the baby, even though the mother's life is not in danger. And what's interesting to note is that later on, bringing this into contemporary terms, none other than Rav Moshe Feinstein, the great Pesach Adar of America, of the world, in his Igras Moshe, in his Halachic Compendium, And his halachic writing says that he agrees with the psak of the Bahag, and he agrees with the psak of the Ramban, who quoted the Bahag as being halacha lamasa. The only question we have to ask is, what is the source of the Bahag paskening this way? What's the source of the Ramban agreeing with the Bahag? And what's the source of Rav Moshe Feinstein agreeing, as one of our Gedolei Achronim, that what they pasken is halachically correct? Where do we derive it from? It doesn't come from the pasuk Chai Behem V'lo Shiyamus Behem, because I pointed out it has to be only applicable to human beings who are full-fledged nefashos, who were born into this world from day one of their actual coming into this world to the end of their years on the face of this earth. The pasuk Chai Behem V'lo Shiyamus Behem is the source that pekuach nefesh and medical care must be because the pekuach nefesh overrides Shabbos and Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, and most of all the mitzvahs contained in the Torah. But the pasuk Chai V'lo Shiyamus Behem does not apply to fetal life when the baby is still in utero. So what pasuk does the Bahag and the Ramban bring to justify the concept of saving this baby's life, who's really not a full-fledged halachic human being yet? What is the source that they use? So when you look in the Ramban, in his Teres Adim, in his halachic compendium, what he does and what he says is that in actuality, it is based upon a very important makar, and that makar is the makar of Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, which I quoted before from the Gemara in Yoma. He claims the pasuk of Shem b'nei Sosos HaShabbos v'aseis HaShabbos v'asem b'ris olam, where he had a kabbalah mechalo Shabbos achas kedei sheyishmu Shabbos esharbe, mechalo this Shabbos koishish able to shem Shabbos in the future, says the Bahag, and says the Ramban, and so paskins are Moshe Feinstein, that pasuk applies specifically to the maintenance and preservation of fetal life in its process of gestation and growth in its mother's body during the 9 months of gestation. If the baby's life is in danger, why are we being mechalal Shabbos for it? It's not chayiv mitzvahs yet. It's not a full-fledged nefesh yet. So what's the rationale? She says the rationale is this second pasuk quoted by the Gemara, which is now being used by the Baal Halachas Gedolos and the Ramban to justify this activity. If you take it upon yourself to save the fetal life of this specific baby and to literally do whatever you have to do to Mechal Shabbos or Yom Kippur to basically allow the medical treatment of this child and taking away those sakanas that are threatening the life of the child, if you use that pasuk's logic, what we're doing is it will be Mechal Shabbos now and Yom Kippur to save the baby's life with the ultimate hope and aspiration. By saving the baby's life now, the baby's gestation will continue. The baby will ultimately be born into this world in a healthy state. The baby will grow up, become a bar mitzvah, a bas mitzvah, and then become an adult, be chayiv and all the mitzvahs contained in the Torah, including Shmirah Shabbos and everything else. So therefore, if that's the case, let's mechal Shabbos is now in utero. Well, the normal mitzvah of Pekach Nefesh Achaibim doesn't apply, based upon the futuristic concerns of this pasuk, that the future spiritual development of this specific child, once they're born into this world, a boy or girl that will become a full-fledged Shomer Torah v'mitzvos and observe all the mitzvos, including Shabbos Yom Kippur, that we're allowed to mechalal Shabbos now for them when they're still in utero, and not chayiv in anything yet, they're not even a full-fledged human being yet, will be mechalal Shabbos for them now, kedei sheyishmu Shabbos eshabe, in order for them to observe Shabbos in the future, when they're born into this world, and they're functional human beings, and we are going to be able to mekayim Torah v'mitzvos, we are halacha lamasa allowed to take the initiative now when the baby is not chayiv in utero, and literally apply this principle of this gezeiras akasov anuchalo shabbos akas leishishmu shabbos esharbe, to allow us to tell the mother, you must break your tainus and allow your baby to get the nourishment it needs in order that the tainus of Yom Kippur should not cause a spontaneous abortion or miscarriage. We have to save the baby's life. And so is paskint by the Shulchan Aruch, and so is paskint based upon the Bahag and the Ramban, and followed, interestingly, halach lamasa by none other than Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zechat Tzadik Levracha. And I would say a very, very good consensus of poskim agrees with Rav Moshe in this specific psak halacha. But what I want to share with you today is that there is a tremendous chiddush that the Baal Halachas Gedolah says with the Ramban that's accepted by Rav Moshe Feinstein in his tshuvos, that I have to share with you this today. And it's a very tremendous chiddush to show you how, according to them, the Torah's sensitivity to the preservation of human life, the infinite divine value, not only of human beings who already are living in this world, but the infinite divine value of life of a baby who's first becoming a developed baby in the developed fetus and an embryo, and finally a human being in the mother's body before the baby's born, the Torah was tremendously concerned with the health and welfare of all types of prenatal children, as well as postnatal people who are born into this world, the different gezeiros hakasos for the pikuach nefesh of each. But I want to show you how far Rav Moshe Feinstein went based upon the Baal Halachas Gedolos and the Ramban in their approach to this. So listen to me now to the second major factor which I wanted to be halachically aware of. In the world of halachic significance of a baby gestating in its mother's body, so I pointed out to you from the time of conception, which takes place in the fallopian tube, the ultimate connection to the uterine wall, which then allows this specific new cell, the blastocyst, which connects to the uterine wall and allows, therefore, at that point in time, the mother to help the baby gestate with giving it nourishment, with transfer fluids from the mother's body to the baby's body and vice versa. The mother is a support mechanism for this baby during the months of gestation. And Chazal, however, said that even though the gestation began from the time of conception and implantation in the uterine wall, there are halachas on the books based upon Torah Shabbat Peh that say very explicitly, a very important concept, that the first 40 days of gestation in many different areas of halacha, the baby's gestation wasn't given halachic consideration when it comes to certain halachas that apply to babies that are in utero. And let me explain to you what I mean. I'll give you a couple of examples quoted by Chazal to demonstrate this. For instance, when a mother used to give birth, at the time we had a Beis HaMikdash, and we had the concept of Kurbanos, and we had a whole Pashas Tazri and Sefer Vayikra that tells us that when a woman basically gives birth, she has a Tumas Leda that comes out with a vaginal birth, and there's a Chiyuv for a boy baby to bring a Kurban on the 40th day after the birth takes place, and a special Kurban has to be brought for a girl baby after 80 days of the baby being born into this world. And there are a lot of halachas that apply to the dam and everything else during that specific time period, which I'm not going to go into.
You are listening to Ben's
Torah. The question is, if birth, vaginal birth, causes tumas leda, which means when the baby comes out, it causes the mother to have what's called a special tumor called the tumor of birth, giving birth, which has halachic ramifications, and a chiyuv of karban. So the Gemara says explicitly that only applies to a baby that came out of the mother's body through a miscarriage or, Rachmana Litzlan, through some other type of unfortunate loss of the baby, that where the baby exited from day 41 on from the time of conception. If the baby emanated from day 41 days old in its ultimate process of gestation and came out of the mother's body, even though the baby is dead, is not going to live, but it survived for 41 days, the 2 months later applies to the mother, and if you can identify the sex of the baby, then there's a halacha for a boy baby and for a girl baby. And if you don't know halacha lamasa, what the sex of this little baby is, because it's too small, you put the chumras of the male baby and the female baby on it, and it comes to deciding when to bring the carbon and the tumas later and everything else, which is, once again, I'm not going into those halachas now. But if the baby is unfortunately miscarried or accidentally aborted within the first 40 days of gestation, the Gemara calls it a mere watery substance, mayim ba'alma, and the halachic din of generating tumas later, if it's aborted in the first 40 days, does not halachically apply. It's based upon Torah Shabbat Peh. I will tell you, even in the world of science today, science will agree to you that the first actual systems of a baby's body that are recognizable and functionable really come about when the baby is about 41 days old. We're talking about now the circulatory system and the heart and all that stuff, that we're able now, based upon the scientific knowledge we have, when it comes to the concept of that level of biological realities of creation of human beings, that day 41 is the crucial day that the body really starts functioning with human body systems. Therefore, the baby's life, as the baby is a functioning human being, is really halakhically recognized in the world of halakha. But in the first 40 days, it is not recognized, and no tumas later would take place. Another halakha that's based upon this specific concept is that if a woman miscarries or accidentally aborts a child during the months of gestation, the baby's dead body generates tumas emes. It can cause the mess of tuma to be given out to people who touch that body part, or if they don't touch it, they carry it indirectly, or they come into a room where the body parts contained is tumas ol, the room causes you to be contaminated. Very similar to what happens to a real human being who's an adult, or even who's born into this world, who dies, where tumas maga, mas, and tumas ol have halach application. So says the world of halacha, and the Rambam quotes this, as defined by the Mishnah Melech, if the mother therefore miscarries or accidentally aborts the child from day 41 on, the dead corpse that comes out of the body parts are metame tumas hames, as I just mentioned. But if she miscarries or unfortunately aborts the child within the first 40 days, since it's considered just a mere watery substance, no tumas later is caused by this specific miscarriage or abortion. So we see over here that in different areas of halacha, and I can give you many more examples, I just don't have the time today to go into them, but there are technicalities, that under normal circumstances, the first 40 days are now looked upon as real days of the baby's existence on a fetal, biological, physiological level. When it comes to tumas leida and tumas ames and all the other stuff, it's really looked upon as a non-entity when it comes to these types of phenomenon. Comes along the Baal Halachas Gedolos and the Ramban, and Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal follows in suit and points out that the heter of the Bahag to Mechal Lo Shabbos Yom Kippur for the sake of fetal life applies, believe it or not, not only from day 41 on, from the time of gestation, but even within the first 40 days of the gestational period, from the time of conception even up to day 40, where the baby is not considered a halachic human being in a fetal level, until day 41 in many different areas. That when it comes to the baby's salvation, where the doctor says to the mother on Yom Kippur in the first 40 days of gestation, if you don't stop fasting Yom Kippur, you might cause a spontaneous abortion or miscarriage to take place, that you force the mother to break her tinus, according to the Bahag and the Ramban. And the pasuk they quote is, V'sham v'nesos ha-shabbos, where you're supposed to mechal shabbos achas, k'dei she'yishma shabbos ha-sharbei, the chiddush of the Baal Halachas Gedolos, and the Ramban, which is accepted by Rav Moshe Feinstein, is that that lumdis, that gezeiros hakasuf of pekuach nefesh that deals with fetal entities, applies even in the first 40 days of the gestational period of the baby, and can therefore force the mother to mechabel Shabbos Yom Kippur if the baby's life is at stake, because the lumdis of this pasuk is the mitzvah pekuach nefesh for a baby applies halacha lamasa, based upon the simple logic and lumdis. If you save the baby's life even in the first 40 days, that's able to continue its pregnancy and its gestation and come out a healthy baby, that healthy baby will then be a shemit teva mitzvah in the future, and therefore the lumdis will be mechalo shabbos achas now, in the fetal mode, that the child when he's born and gets into this world would be a shemit shabbos harbei, applies even to a baby whose life is endangered in the first 40 days of the child's creation and the gestational period. That's a tremendous chiddush gadol. But as I pointed out to you, not only the Baal Halachas Gedolos and the Ramban Nachmanides tell this way, but Rav Moshe Feinstein and many other Gedolei HaPoskim agree halacha lamasa with this specific psak halach as well. One of the ramifications of this, quoted by Rav Moshe Feinstein in his response to literature, is that if we are mechuyev to save fetal life in the first 40 days of gestation, based upon the pasuk of b'mechal shabbos achas k'dei she'yishmu shabbos harbei, then there's another major principle we learn and derive from this in another area, Rachman Litzlan, that I have to mention. And that is, if you have to save the baby's life in the first 40 days because of this, because there's a cause of a pekuach nefesh, then alachas kama v'kama, if you have to save the life, you cannot destroy this fetal life. So therefore, Moshe Paskins, the isa of abortion for Jewish children, Jewish parents, does not start on day one, as it does by the non-Jewish world, but it's based upon this lumdis, this pasuk, this gzeiros hakasuv of pekuach nefesh, that the isa of abortion for a Jewish child begins from the moment of conception all the way through the 40 days, continuing for the rest of the gestation until the child is born. Which means halacha lamasa, in practical halachic terms, under normal conditions, where for a non-Jewish baby, their halachic fetal life and the isa of abortion begins on day 41 of gestation, for a Jewish baby, halachic parents, and non-halachic parents, that will begin from the moment of gestation. And what's popular on the marketplace, which is basically the concept of a pill that a woman can take after she has relationships, you're able to cause, if the baby was created through conception, you're able to terminate that actual conception from taking place. A morning after pill, it's called, the modern nomenclature, where for a guy it might be permissible in the first 40 days for a non-Jewish woman, according to the Bnei Noach halacha, to take a morning after pill. For a Jewish woman, it would be halachically prohibited, because Chazal are concerned that the morning after pill serves as an abortive procedure, and the isa of abortion applies to this baby in the first 40 days, the same the way the mitzvah of Hatzolos Nefashos, of saving this baby's life, applies to this baby according to the Bahag and the Ramban, and Rav Moshe Feinstein and other Gedolim, according to the Halachic Din of Pekuach Nefesh being Doichel Kol HaTorah Kula. This is a tremendous Chiddush, a tremendous Psak, which I pointed out to you is accepted by a good majority of the poskim, led by none other than Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zechat Tzadik Levracha, but it's based upon Gedolim of the Gaonic period, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, and later on one of the great Gedolim of the Rishonic era, Nachmanides or Moshe ben Nachman, and this is brought down Halacha Lamasa by the poskim in the Sifrei Psak concerning this very delicate issue. We therefore see Halacha Lamasa that the concept of the baby in utero having halachic significance in the eyes of Hashem and represented in the eyes of halacha, which of the Torah that Hashem gave us, is we have to be cognizant of it. And we have to be careful when it comes to the preservation and care of human life, even in the state of the early part of pregnancy. We have to be careful how we conduct ourselves as a woman carrying the baby. We have to make sure we're careful in what we eat and what we drink and the health of our body, because it impacts upon the health and development of the baby inside. We don't treat it as an entity, but in the world of halacha, based upon the futuristic abilities of observance of Torah mitzvahs, it defines retroactively how we're supposed to treat the baby at this stage of life, in its premature state of gestation, going back to the earliest moment of conception. This is the type of incredible concern that Chazal had when it came to the treatment of children in utero, and the halachic concern we had when it comes to realizing that just doing abortions for the sake of convenience, I didn't want the child, I didn't need the child, it was an accident, I used birth control, doesn't wash in the world of halacha as it relates to Torah law, as it relates to Jewish law. For a non-Jew, according to B'nai Noach halacha, they have up until day 41 the ability to make those types of statements. But in the world of halacha, for Jewish men and women, and their sensitivity to halacha, the way the Gedol HaPoskim Paskin, you cannot do anything to cause an unauthorized, non-therapeutic abortion for a baby within the first 40 days, because as Rav Moshe says very explicitly, quoting the Chavis Yor, another Gedolei HaPoskim from beforehand, that once you have a mitzvah to save the baby's life in the first 40 days, you surely have no right to destroy that baby through abortion in those 40 days as well. So we're able to see the incredible sensitivity that Chazal had to the human life, to the humanness of this specific baby we're discussing over here, to the humanity of human life, to the consecration and the importance of human life, and the realization that being able to get pregnant and have children is a special bracha given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But realize that the fact that Hashem gives you the ability to fulfill this mitzvah and have the natural capacities to do such, it's not just producing the child, but preserving and taking care of their existence in utero until the child is born into this world. And after that, then you continue watching and taking care of the child until it grows into a full-fledged functioning human being and able to take care of themselves. What's interesting to note is Chazal tell us that when the baby is in utero, the Chazal basically point out that the creation of a baby is a partnership of three entities. It's a Gemara Masechtas Nida. The three entities are the parents, the mother, and the father, and the third partner is the Rebbeinu Shlom Bechvoido Ubiatzmai. When it comes to these three partners in creating a child, Chazal tell us hashkafically that the mother and father are the ones who cause the physical body of the child to be created by the combination and the conception of the sperm being connected to the egg, going into the egg, and ultimately combining and making the ultimate blastocyst, or the ultimate stem cell, which is the source from which the baby, once it connects to the uterine wall, grows into a human being, in 9 months. That specific phenomenon of the chromosomes given by the parents to create the baby, 23 from the egg of the mother and 23 chromosomes from the sperm of the father, that means that the baby and all human beings are made up of 46 chromosomes, which define humanhood. That causes the physical development of the child to start taking place and develop for the next 9 months. The Chazal say the Rabban Hashem implants into the baby also a Tzelem Elokim and a Neshama Tehira at the time of their creation as well. According to Chazal, it's a process that continues from the moment of conception up until the ultimate 41 days of the physical development of the child itself. And that concept of having a neshama placed into the child's body, and therefore they have the divine Tzelem Elokim placed in and connected to their physical body that's developing, is a very important period of time. There is a Medrash Chazal which the Gemara quotes in Masechtas Nida that's quite beautiful and quite incredible. What it says over there is that as your body is physically developing in the body and growing month by month until after 9 months you're a full-fledged human being before you're born into this world, there's another activity taking place besides the fact you were given an neshama b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu and your body from your parents, and that is there's a malach that Hashem has put in charge of this baby's development in the mother's body, in which during those 9 months of gestation, the malach comes and teaches this baby kol haTorah kula, the entire Torah from the very beginning to the end. The child is taught all of the Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebapeh. All of this knowledge is given to the child into the child's brain by the malach teaching it. And Chazal tell us that right before the baby's born, whether it's male or female, the malach touches the baby at a certain place. Some claim that's the indent under our nose, right above our lips, which makes them forget all the Torah they learned, and is interpreted by the Vilna Gaon to mean, the Gros says, that that touch of the malach takes the knowledge that's in the brain, on the conscious part of the brain, and basically puts it into the subconscious part of the brain, which means when the baby's born, halacha lamasa, whether male or female, its subconscious now has contained in it, besides everything else, the potential knowledge and recall of kol haTorah kula, the malach taught it during that 9 month period of gestation. And therefore, says the Vilna Gaon and other Gedolim who deal with this Medrash Chazal, that is why when we learn Torah, whether you're male and female, the rest of your life, we're not learning something totally brand new, but we're in the process of recall. We're basically, through our Yegiyas HaTorah, through our effort of learning and studying, bringing from the subconscious part of our brain back into our conscious part the knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kula, the Malach taught us. And that is why, interesting enough, my dear Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, used to say something quite interesting and fascinating. He points out that the Rambam paskins in the fourth chapter of the halachas of Yisodei HaTorah contained in the Mishnah Torah, that when it comes to the knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kula, of the entire Torah, Efshe Sheyeda HaKol, that it's possible for every Jew and Jewess to be able to master the knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kula, and he mentions both males and females that are able to master Kol HaTorah Kula on their intellectual plane. We're not talking about super geniuses, but anybody of common intellectual capacity has the capacity to know Kol HaTorah Kula. And when Rav Soloveitchik said, so where did the Rambam get this from? How does the Rambam know to say a thing like that? He just says it's based upon this Gemara in Masechtas Nida, as was interpreted by the Vilna Gaon, that before you're born, all of the Torah that was taught you by the Malach is placed in your mind and the subconscious, and that the rest of your life, when you're born in this world and you're evolved and you're giyas Torah, studying Torah laboriously, you're able to bring the knowledge from the subconscious to the conscious level. And if that's the case, since the Malach taught it to boys and to girls in utero, boys and girls, if they're involved in Yegiyas HaTorah and learning Torah, Yegati Matzasi, the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah Davav, if you put in the time and effort to learn and to study, you're able to get the knowledge and understanding and comprehension of all the Torah that Hashem gave you during the time of the gestation period before you're born. You're able to recall all of it. And that's what the Rambam is basically paskening and mentioning in Hilchos Odiyah Torah, based upon this Medrash Chazal. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik said that this is even Merumitz in Pashas Nitzavim, where the Pasuk says over here that when it comes to Torah, Lo b'shamayim hi, lo b'eva hayam, Torah is not something that's in heaven that you have to go up to get it. It's not across the seas. You have to go to some special country or place to find it. Where is Torah contained? Ki karav elecha dava b'ficha u'b'lavavcha la'soso. That Torah is close to you, in your mouth and your heart to do it, which means that the Torah is contained inside you. You already have the knowledge of the Torah. And if you put your heart and mind and your efforts and your kochos into trying to recall that Torah and to learn that Torah and to study Torah, what does the pasuk say? Ki kare elecha ma'od, that the Torah is close to you. Whenever you show a real earnest desire to want to learn it, to want to understand it, to want to comprehend it, emes akar v'lecha b'zman shebelibcha, that your heart and your mind have a desire to learn it, discover it, analyze it, and comprehend it. That is why I always advocate that men and women should realize the capacities they have in learning Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you apply yourselves and you really want to learn, you're able to accomplish, to know everything. Hashem gave you that capacity through the agency of the Malach in your gestational period. So you're not just physiologically growing in your mother's body for 9 months, but you're having an incredible education through a Malach that's been Mamuna to teach you all of the Torah and to give it to you and give you the capacity to recall it when you're born into this world. I therefore want to tell you that's why we are very makbid in our community to try to make sure that we teach Torah to both men and to women. We want to give them the capacity to discover the knowledge that the Malach taught you and inculcated you with during the gestational period of your growth. We understand therefore why Chazal was so concerned in not doing anything to harm this little babula that's growing in its mother's body during the 9 months of gestation. It's not only a question of destroying a piece of flesh, but you're destroying already an entity that has the physical body and the neshama of the Tzelem Elohim given to it already. You're dealing with a little baby inside that's being taught the Holy Torah by a Malach during those 9 months. So to destroy a pregnancy without the mother's life being threatened or endangered is a Torah prohibition. It's an Issa Deraisa. That's why Klal Yisrael has taken a very strong position against non-therapeutic abortions, which have nothing to do with saving the mother's life. If God forbid, the Mishnah says the mother's life is threatened by the pregnancy, and if the pregnancy continues, the mother's going to die, you're allowed to sacrifice the baby to save the mother's life, which is a different discussion in its own right, based upon the halachic sources of the Rambam, Rashi, and all the other Gedolim who deal with the topic. But I want you to understand that a little baby inside is not just a growing piece of flesh, developing organs, developing body parts, and slowly but surely becoming a human being, but it's already a spiritual entity. It already has a Tzelem Elohim. It already has a Heilige Neshama. It's already involved in the studying and learning of Torah. That's why many, many tzidkaniyos used to make it their business that when they were pregnant, to go to hear Shi'urei Torah, so that the words of the Torah they're listening to can be heard by the little baby who's growing inside and be able to benefit from those Divrei Torah as well. On a metaphysical level, we might not comprehend it, but this is what Chazal point out is able to be accomplished by having pregnant women come to listen to Shiur HaTorah. Not only you benefit from it, but the little baby boy and girl in your stomach are also benefiting from this. There were Nashim Tzidkaniyos who had the Hakpada when the baby was born. They took the little Babala when they had time and used to bring the cradle with the baby to the Beis Medrash to allow the baby's ears to hear the Divrei Torah and the learning taking place in the Beis Medrash in order for them to have the capacity to hear the Torah being learned, for their neshama and for their tzelem elokim to benefit from it, to impact upon their spiritual development and their spiritual growth. Chazal say upon one of the great Gedolei Tanoim, Ashra Yaladato, fortunate is his mother, because she had the Hakpada, that the reason her son became an incredible Godel B'Teira and a Talmud Chacham was because she was matpid to bring his baby cradle, his baby carriage, to the Beis Medrash and allow the baby who couldn't comprehend, as we do as human beings, and what's being said, allow the words of Torah to penetrate her ears and ultimately the baby's ears in its development in her body, and in this case in the development in the crib and the cradle. When he's already born into this world, it impacts upon the child, it gives the child the ability with that experience to develop spiritually later on. And that is why Chazal tell us that there was a minig in Klal Yisrael, that when we had the concept of Hakel taking place on Sukkot, where every 8 years on Sukkot we used to have men, women, and children, and even little babies being brought to the Beis HaMikdash to hear the Torah being publicly read. Chazal said this was a reenactment of Maimed Har Sinai, and we had over there the Melech reading the Torah, and everybody there listening very carefully. Even little Babalach LeBron, who couldn't comprehend what was being said, for them to experience the experience of that Divrei Torah, which is being said publicly, entering their heart, their mind, and hear their ears, even though they could not at that time be intellectually involved in the process, but on a metaphysical, spiritual level, they were benefiting from that experience. We therefore see Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, the beauty of our Torah, the Chachma of our Torah, the concern of our Torah for our physical health and welfare when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, the concern of our Torah for our spiritual health and welfare. Let's hope and pray that we'll be able to learn from this how careful we have to be with the little Babalach that are being created and being carried and ultimately being born into this world, what our responsibility is. We should be zoich to have a generation, as Chazal forecast, that at the end of day, that the Klal Yisrael's Kindalach, in the schus of the Tinoka Shel Beis Rabam, the ultimate Geula, redemption will take place, their Torah, the Hevopiyam Shel these Tinokas, and the fact that they're involved in the process of Torah has a tremendous schus for Klal Yisrael, for our present and our future. We guarantee to Hashem the continuation of Torah and Har Sinai beKabbalas HaTorah by promising to impart it to our children, to the next generations. Let's hope and pray we will see those brachas haksuz tar bimakuyim and have a Klal Yisrael that's mole Torah v'chachma, mole with avedis Hashem, to be able to see a tekufa with all the machlos and sicknesses we've been confronted with should be terminated. And we should have a generation, kulo zera kodesh, a holy generation, a spiritual generation, a Torah generation, that will fulfill the mandate of us being the Am Kadosh of our Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'mheir yameinu, amein v'amein. Tamidin, tamidas, have a wonderful day. And be matzliach in all that you do. Thank you for participating in this very important share. I wanted to share it with others because of the yesodas I taught you today that many people are not aware of. If you want, you can unmute yourselves. Have a wonderful day, Tamidos. You have the ability to unmute yourself if you so desire. And basically, be matzliach in all that you do and have nachas in your kindalach.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.